Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hello, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. And today we're bringing you an episode of Trail Mix all about a hike we took while visiting Mesa Verde National Park. But that hike wasn't actually inside of the park boundaries itself. The hike was on an area of land managed by the BLM, or the Bureau of Land Management, in Cortez, Colorado, and within the boundaries of the Canyon of the Ancients National Monument.
While many of the episodes of our show revolve around the main units of the national park system, we are by no means NPS elitist when it comes to visiting the different units of the national park system or any of the public lands that are managed either federally or on a state level. The natural landscape of this continent is so wide and varied, and just because the site itself isn't a national park or a federally recognized space managed by one of the public lands alphabet agencies, is no less of a reason to visit, explore, and appreciate the beauty of what these spaces have to offer.
That's right. Our public lands are wide and varied and should be readily accessible to all who want to visit and explore. For us, hiking is our favorite thing, but that doesn't mean we aren't here for the history or the architecture or the simplicity of some of the other sites in the wide array of our public lands. All of this to say that this episode is the first of many in this season, where we will start to bring you hikes and explorations on some of the smaller yet equally beautiful and interesting spaces that dot the country. So with that, let's jump into this hike.
Also, welcome to the stage, dot the country. Canyon of the Ancients was recommended by our Airbnb host. And I was actually looking back through the photos and I forgot that he had a few cats, I think, that we...
I love them.
Yeah.
I wanted them to be my friends.
Yeah.
And they were everywhere.
They were on occasion here and on occasion not. On the first night that we were there, he kind of talked to us and we were just chatting about what we were up to, and we said, oh, we were in Mesa Verde for 2 days, but there were a lot of things that were closed that we couldn't get to, so it left us with some extra time. So he was like, oh, if you have extra time and if you like to hike, then you should probably check out Canyon of the Ancients. It's basically right here.
And it was yeah, not a far drive from where he was.
I think
at
it
all.
Was like 20-30 minutes, if that.
Yeah, if that. Yeah, and it ended up being kind of a triangle because we were able to go right from there to Mesa Verde pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So what is Canyon of the Ancients National Monument? It became a national monument in June 2000, and it is over 176,000 acres large. This is a quote from the Bureau of Land Management. The monument contains the highest known architectural site density in the United States, with rich, well-preserved evidence of native cultures. The archaeological record etched into this landscape is much more than isolated islands of architecture. The cultural landscape contains more than 6,355 recorded sites, which reflect all the physical components of past human life. Villages, field houses, reservoirs, great kivas, cliff dwellings, shrines, sacred springs, agricultural fields, petroglyphs, and sweat lodges. Some areas have more than 100 sites per square mile. The number of sites is estimated to be up to 30,000. The monument has been used or inhabited by humans, including the North Ancestral Puebloan culture, or Anasazi, for 10,000 years, and continues to be a landscape used by humans today. Historic uses of the monument include recreation, hunting, livestock grazing, and energy development, end quote.
So another site that was also recommended to us by our Airbnb host was Hovenweep National Monument. So that's in Utah. It's kind of across the border. It's about an hour from Cortez. We just really didn't have the time to do both as much as we would have liked to have done them. We were kind of locked in on this day because this is the day that we were going to Cliff Palace and we had tickets for that space.
And this was the morning. So in order to get to Canyon of the Ancients, specifically the area we were going to do the hike, we had to drive on this very, very dusty road.
Mm-hmm. An homage to you. Titled Route G.
That's right. The parking lot was, I mean, it wasn't a parking lot. It was sort of just this like open sandy gravelly area.
Right.
And that is where we parked. I do remember that it was slanted a little
bit. Yes, it was. I think he was like, it's just going to be like a rock. It looks like you're parking on
like
a rock.
It looks like you're parking on a rock.
Yeah, right. Which is basically, yeah. And when you get there, there are three routes that you can take. So you kind of like get out of the car and there is a signboard that has a map. There's also a large signboard that welcomes you to Canyon of the Ancients. Three routes that you could take are the Rock Creek Trail, which is a 4-mile trail. The East Rock Creek Trail, which is a 5-mile trail. They are both loop trails. And then there's the Sand Canyon Trail, which is there and back at 6 miles or 12 miles in total, which it does go further into the Canyon of the Ancients Monument, but basically this area that is designated for hiking in this specific space, which is the Rock Creek and Sand Canyon area, that's kind of like the boundary line is like a 6-mile point, and there's like a terminal point at the end of that, but you could keep walking on it. And there are connecting trails that go between these trails that are unnamed.
So we were on a little bit of a time limit because we wanted to go to Mesa Verde and have enough time to do the petroglyph trail, the museum, and get to our Cliff Palace tour before 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it was a packed day. It was a packed day.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to do the Sand Canyon Trail.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just do it for as long as we can. And then we'll turn back.
Right. This was kind of like bonus for us.
Totally.
Just to be able to like do this hike and have the space and time to do it. If we probably arranged our day and we knew a little bit more about this before going, I think the first day that we were in Mesa Verde, we probably would have done the Mesa Top Loop, the museum, and maybe mm-hmm. even petroglyphs. Like, but also we were dealing with exhaustion. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it all worked out in the way it was supposed to, as it always does. So what do you remember about that day, like, and about the start? Like, what was, like, that start of the hike like for you? And what was, like, the day like?
I remember it being pseudo-warm. Like, it wasn't the chilliest.
No. And yesterday, the day before, was very chilly and windy. Yeah.
While things were pitched a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was relatively flat at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that giant rock
yes.
that we were looking at, like, right from the parking
Castle
lot.
Castle Rock Pueblo is what it's called.
That is right.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember those things. Yeah, I remember feeling like, great. It's just like a beautiful day to like get out and do this.
For me, I just remember, yeah, it was warm. It was a lot warmer than it had been the day before. But it did feel good to stretch. Like, I remember being like, okay, we get to hike. Like, this will be good. And, like, knowing that we were going to hike a little bit more on doing the petroglyphs trail. Because doing car stops and getting out for, like, 5 minutes is,
that's
like,
so exhausting. I would rather...
I don't understand why.
I'd rather, like, hike incline for a number of miles.
Right.
Then, like, start and stop in a car for a number of miles.
Yeah. So I think for me, I was really stoked to just be able to be out and to be able to hike in this space. I also knew that we were going to be seeing some archaeological sites along the way, which, you know, I think was also a bonus. I didn't expect that. You know, a lot of what we said at the beginning of this episode were things that we learned only after having visited the monument. So this was sort of like an idea that was... I don't want to say thrust upon us, but it was kind of like came out of nowhere and we're like, yeah, let's do it. Like, it was sort of just like a happenstance moment.
Yeah.
So we didn't really do too much research into it before we went ahead and did it.
There was the guy hiking near us at the beginning.
There
right?
were a few people. There were a bunch of people that kind of pulled up concurrently to us. Yeah.
I remember chatting with them for a little bit and then we sort of, there was the fork in the trail and then they went on one way and we went another.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically...
Coming around Castle Rock.
Yeah. So basically, you hit that incline pitch. You definitely get all your glute exercises in from that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Castle Rock is that large rock kind of outcropping that Dusty was saying. And you have to kind of round it to get to the trails. And it does put you in the shadow a little bit. And we're in early morning light because hike early, hike often, as we always do.
It's easily 7:30 a.m.
Probably,
at this point.
Yeah. We make our way up and then round the rock. And that's where you kind of get your different trails. And we were going on Sand Canyon. We were going on Sand Canyon. And that did sort of put us on a pitch again for a little bit.
We were still
pitching upward.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But what the majority of this hike ends up being, mm-hmm. or ended up being, was the pitch was sort of like left to right. It was pitched a little up toward mm-hmm. the left
yep.
and going down toward the right. Over to the right is just like a giant, gorgeous overlook of a canyon. Constantly that you're like walking along the
side. So the other thing is that there are a lot of trees. There's a lot mm-hmm. of like juniper and like other conifer type shrubbery and trees that are there. So that does obscure your view or obstruct your view at certain points of the canyon. But you do have, besides the canyon, you have mountains in the distance. So you do
right.
get that view off to the side.
And then over to the left, you have a bunch of rock structures. This is where you get small archaeological structures that are like built inside of the rock wall.
Right. From some points of the trail, you're able to see things from afar, but then they also have these white blazed trails. So you'll on the main trail, every now and again, you'll see like a post with like a white reflector on it. And that signifies like a break off. So you're able to do as many or as little of those as you like. Sometimes they loop and bring you back to the main trail at a different point. And sometimes it's just an out and back. So you're able to see these kind of alcoves and in some cases, small rock structure that isn't as built up or as well preserved, I would say, as what Mesa Verde has, at least in the section that we were in and hiking. And I can't speak for all of Canyon of the Ancients, but you do have those jet offs. So that was kind of nice because we were able to say, hey, do we want to do this one? No, we're okay. Or, hey, this one looks like there's stuff over there. Let's go take a look. Because again, I think if we had more time, I think we would have spent the whole day there because
It
was plenty
Certainly.
Of hiking. We would have like really have had a blast in doing all of those different trails because it would
right.
have given us so much to experience and to just like see in a very small space when you think about the
right.
area that we were hiking in.
So the way we just kept time was we, you know, as we were walking out, we were like, how long has this taken us?
Right.
Double
we wanna
that.
Be, yeah,
we want to be back to the mm-hmm. car by this time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would have loved to have kept going,
yeah.
you know? What I loved was over on the left when it came to the rock structures, mm-hmm. it was reminiscent of Bryce Canyon in that you'd get past a wall and see something new.
Yeah.
You'd get past another wall and there was something new
mm-hmm.
over here on your left constantly while you have a gorgeous view over to the right the whole time.
Right. I also feel like for like if we want to talk about like what's reminiscent about Bryce Canyon or even Capitol Reef, I was feeling
yes.
getting some vibes there. This is like all red rocks and sand.
Yes.
So it's very different from even Mesa Verde, which isn't that like miles away is miles
yes.
away. It felt like we had like been dropped in Utah.
Definitely
and
into a new,
honestly,
new experience.
Honestly, you're not really not that far from Utah. Like Mesa
yeah.
Verde is close to the border, 45 minutes, if that.
Right.
So it does make sense geologically how this area is similar to what you kind of see in Utah. But I definitely felt like you were saying, like kind of turning a corner and then having that surprise that just kind of comes out of nowhere, which is really, really amazing. I think the idea of seeing ruins and being able to be in proximity to them was something that we were both talking about because when we were at Mesa Verde the day prior, we didn't really see any. We'd driven Mesa Top Road. I guess we sort of did from the one overlook. We were able
yeah.
to see that wall. But for the most part, we did that road and then we hiked on Point Lookout and we didn't really see anything that looked like it was an archaeological site. It was going to be a surprise, I think, for the both of us and something that we were looking forward to being able to investigate a little bit further.
Yeah. And, you know, being able to be on a hike where the trail really brings you in and among archaeological sites.
So as you're hiking along the trail, you can kind of see this prominent feature that's in the distance. And It's off to the left where all of these other kind of rock walls are, and it's about a mile into the trail. It kind of almost looks like a beaker or a flask is the best way for me to describe it. If you think about like a science beaker where it's flared out at the bottom and like narrow at the top, what it looks like is what it's named after, which is a saddle horn. A saddle horn is actually the front part of a saddle that allows for safety for the rider, and it is called Saddlehorn Pueblo. So you can't really miss it as you're walking out to it. And you kind of come to it not like on the front, you see it from the side first, so you're kind of like walking up to it on the side, walking up to the side, and then all of a sudden, just like Bryce Canyon, yeah, it reveals itself.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah. So there is a very large alcove that's there that kind of, you know, you can start to see from the distance, and then you realize that, oh, there is a site there in that alcove that's like raised. It's not ground level. The alcove is high.
Yeah.
So this is like the kind of the main site, I would say, that's kind of pointed at in this, on this part of the trail, is Saddlehorn Pueblo.
I don't know the type of rock that is used to make some of the structures that we were looking at, but it was orangish in color. A number of them were built in brick patterns.
Mm-hmm. Alternating centered
yeah. bricks. Yes. Mm-hmm. There were these like rounded circular alcoves. I remember one of them being a very square rectangular structure.
Having seen Mesa Verde later that day, they are definitely not as, like I'd said earlier, as developed.
Or as intricate.
Right.
Or as expansive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they are still archaeological structures.
Right. And it's definitely worth, if nothing else, the hike itself was really, really nice and really good to do. So this was kind of just an added surprise for us, I think, to be able to experience these ruins off the site of Mesa Verde and not even knowing that this was an even bigger, this monument was an even bigger space for the concentration of these archaeological sites. So we're able to get not too close to Saddlehorn Pueblo. It, you know, you're pretty far back, but you have a clear shot and you can
yeah.
see it.
What's great is that they have all these small jet off trails mm-hmm. that let you get a little closer.
Like a viewing trail almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they stop.
Yeah.
Like they stop, like, so you have a clear distance.
Yep.
Like you're not getting all up inside any
archaeological
structures.
No.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
But it brings you closer to, you know, see the intricacies of the work and the structure, and then, you know, you can turn around and get back on the path.
You know, I think one thing that I didn't realize, even though we had brought our bags, was how hot it got out there, because it's basically, you're just exposed the entire time. So having the water bladder was a big help that day.
Yes.
We eventually kind of like wind off to another jet off, which kind of gives you more of a view into the canyon. That's there, that's, you know, at this point sort of blocked by trees. But for the most part, the hike was great because it was pretty quiet. Like, mm-hmm. we had the trails to ourselves. So even doing those jut-offs, there wasn't really many. We ran into like a few people on the trail, if that. Some people that I remember talking to that had done those trails and kind of continue to go back to them, they were like, they'd given us just some advice about hiking out, like what was further beyond Saddlehorn. And they were like, we were like, we have to turn around. And they're like, oh, if you've seen Saddlehorn, then you're good for today.
Yeah.
Basically. But like, definitely come back. And it's something I would definitely, I mean, I would love to go back to Mesa Verde just to see the things
Absolutely.
We didn't get to see and to explore some of the national monuments that surround it.
Yes.
Because it's clear that there are aplenty. Same thing in Utah. So many national monuments to see.
So for this hike in Canyon of the Ancients National Monument, we were actually on the southern border. We weren't even in the main section of Canyon of the Ancients. There's definitely at least a day of hiking to do in this section here, and plenty to explore at the main section of the National Monument. We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in the Canyon of the Ancients National Monument, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Pueblo and Ute people. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our Moon Travel Guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use Moon Travel Guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Let's end this trail mix with a game.
Great.
Okay, are you ready, Mike?
I was born that way, according to people.
Okay, great. Here we go. We're going to play Password.
The password is...
The password is...
It's you!
More Clue references.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe that'll be our reference this season.
This is how it works. Mm-hmm. All of the words that you have to guess, mm-hmm. I have 10.
Okay.
Ooh, all of the words that you have to guess are anagrammed from Canyon of the Ancients.
I see.
The way Password works is you have to try and guess the word, mm-hmm. but I can only give you clues one word at a time.
Great.
I have 10. Let's see if you can get them. If I go up to 3, then it's a no and we just have to move on.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. It is time to play
Password.
It reminds me of that Kristen Wiig character that's like, oh, I've said the password. I'm an actress. I bring words to life. Right? Okay, yes. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Bother.
What is annoy?
Correct. You don't have to say what is.
Oh,
you
sorry. I'm so primed for Jeopardy.
Correct.
Yep.
Guilty.
Trial.
Not.
Free.
Didn't.
Innocent.
Yes.
But did you do it?
Pacific.
Ocean. What is ocean?
Mm-hmm. Engaged.
Active.
Person.
Fiance?
Yes. Opportunity.
Can I have another?
Take.
Mm-mm.
Risk.
Try.
Then we were looking for chance.
Okay.
Okay. Dialect.
Dialect? What is accent?
Yeah. Fabulous.
Fantastic.
Formal.
What is...
You don't have to say what
I know, but it's a force of habit. Don't yell at me. Flash?
Reba.
What is McIntyre?
We were looking for fancy.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Next one. Glamorize.
What's accessory?
Spell.
Sorceress?
Forest.
It's not witch. No.
No. We were looking for enchant.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
You could have said Ella.
True. Wily.
Coyote.
Correct. Gretchen.
Wieners.
Happen.
What's occur?
Okay, I want you to connect what it, the two things that I said.
Okay.
Okay.
Secrets.
Okay, so I said Gretchen, right? And then you said wieners.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Happen. Okay, now I'm going to give you the third one.
Okay. My cheeks hurt. I'm laughing so hard.
Stop. Gretchen. Happen. Stop.
What is Mean Girls? Who is Regina?
No, no.
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 No, you're mad at me.
What's the word? What's the word? What is Stop trying to make this happen.
What is fetch?
Thank you. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. We're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about Canyon of the Ancients National Monument and the other parks talked about on the show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on our website and on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard. We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Middlesex County, New Jersey.